Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hello and welcome to Nothing Concrete, the Barbican podcast. I'm Ben Eshmade, and on this week's archive edition, we find ourselves in 2015 and face to face with a force of nature, a champion of the new, a man who stood up for his beliefs. He could even get a new concert hall built, Pierre Boulez. Sadly, the composer and conductor passed away on the 5th of January 2016. But back in 2015, the Barbican presented Boulez at 90. A series of concerts and films across March and April. So on this edition, we try and discover more about the complex and intriguing man by speaking to those closest to his music, such as conductor François Xavier Roth.
Such an important performer as a conductor of the second half of the 20th century.
Composer and educator Julian Anderson.
And why can't we hear it live? We are fed up of always hearing the old CDs, they're marvellous, but we want to hear how this music sounds in the concert hall.
And members of Ensemble Intercontemporain.
Well, it's of course a good opportunity to come and to play for his birthday, but you know his birthday was in when he was 80, 85 or 90.
First, let's hear from a composer from the next or next generation, Nico Muhly. Let's discover his thoughts on Boulez to give us a soft landing and helping hand into this complex yet compelling universe of sound.
It was very, very early in my life as a musician. I've been listening to a lot of Messiaen, and I bought the recording, Boulez's recording of Konokomi, and I just thought, this is amazingly precise and amazingly kind of, it was like someone had put air between all the notes, and I was just immediately transfixed with this kind of, this clarity and precision and like sensual aggression, I guess is what I thought of. And then I'm a little bit of sort of contrarian in the sense that, and the music that I think is the most warm is what everyone thinks is the most cold. I think sort of early Glass and Reich is incredibly warm, and I think, you know, early English choral music is incredibly warm, and I think Boulez is as well. I mean, it feels essentially like a sort of a gigantic extension of Debussy and of kind of this sort of sumptuous French milky textures. A few years ago, when I started to know more about him and I started to read sort of things that he said, I realized I could not be less interested in hearing what he has to say about anything. And I think that's kind of cool. That's good. I think you shouldn't ever listen to composers. And I think, you know, I heard him speak a couple years ago in New York, and essentially he just said a series of contradictory statements. I think what matters is that the notes are right, and that the rhythms are right, and that when he conducts Wagner, certain things happen, and that, you know, those are the things that are important. The rest is just kind of some noise.
From composer to conductor, François Xavier Roth has to be one of the biggest advocates of Pierre Boulez's music. He joined me on the phone to explain why he was looking forward to conducting Boulez's music over two concerts with the BBC Symphony Orchestra.
I have the chance to be born in France, and when I was a child, and especially when I was a teenager, many pieces, many works by Boulez were performed in Paris. So his music was performed, even it was not something part of the repertoire at the time. First time I listened to Répond, I have to say that more than the complexity, it opened my imagination, we say in French, my imaginary landscape in my body, in my mind. So it opened new ways. I always had the feeling that the music was every time fresh, every time modern, like it was written the day before. This was my impression at the beginning. And I will never forget when I met him. It was in London before rehearsal. And he was so simple and so nice to me, in the sense that he just opened his door. When I had some questions, he took all the time necessary to explain me. I remember that he did conduct some Ravel music with the LSO, and it was fascinating for a young conductor like me, because he explained me everything I wanted to know. Why did you do that in the rehearsal? What will you do in the next rehearsal? So it was my first contact with him personally, and I have to say that it was a shock, because I could never imagine that such a great musician would take so much time to explain to Mr. Nobody that I was at this time, and a young musician who wanted to learn about his way to do music. So it was my first contact with him.
How do you think his conducting has influenced his composing, or the other way around? I mean, do you think they're linked in some way?
Yes, for sure. And it's actually very interesting to see. No doubt that his experience as a conductor influenced the way that he could find solutions in the music to be more efficient in a way, or more practical to play, to perform. But the experience of the conductor, you can feel in the writing of the composer. But I mean, this is something that is really part of his profile. Exactly like Gustav Mahler's music. When you see Gustav Mahler's music, you can feel at every bar that the man who did write is used to perform with orchestra, and he knows the orchestra. With Boulez, it's not only symphonic orchestra, because it's new forms, new ensembles that he did invent. You don't find something similar in the composers of the 20th century. Because even Stravinsky was not such a good conductor, and he did fight all the time with the orchestras he had to conduct. I have to say that his conducting is something totally unique. First of all, I have to say that for me, he is such an important performer as a conductor of the second half of the 20th century. He went back to the roots of the text and the gesture of the composers, and started to give performances much more transparent than what was the fame after the war. So this is the first aspect of his conducting, which is very important. When you're talking about seducing, he's not a man of seduction spontaneously. When you look at him conducting, it's something, the face doesn't give any indication. But in the same time, there is this kind of purity in the sound, in the conducting gestures as well. And for me, he was always a model. Always a model. He did impose to the public to listen to music that they didn't know, that they didn't want to listen to. Step by step, conducting Webern, Baer, Schönberg's music, but also his friend Berlioz and Ligeti. Step by step, he educated the audiences. And this is something that we have today to thank him, because I wouldn't dare, or I wouldn't be able to conduct so easily Schönberg or Ligeti today. So this is a second aspect of his conducting tribute.
So we've talked about his conducting, but obviously I think now we should move to your conducting. How do you approach his music? How do you research or prepare yourself for these performances?
This is something that I'm very used to, because I have to say that I had the chance to conduct his music since many years. What is complex, as we said before, is that he has conducting all his pieces. But I think that when I start working all his pieces, I just do like all the composers I conduct. I try to find what the composer wanted to do and wanted to say and wanted to hear when he did write his works. More difficult for the conductor and the players, because you have to take another costume and to try to understand the form and the music simple, or the work. I take it very in advance because the works are very complex, but I have to say that every time it's such an amazing joy to perform his music, a non-stop joy.
Francois then guided me through some of the music in more detail he was planning to conduct back in 2015.
If we start with the second piano sonata, which I found quite fascinating to learn was sort of developed through his friendship with John Cage.
Yes, the second piano sonata is a masterwork, no doubt. It's a total radical work. In a way, like the first piano sonata by him, but even more, when it was first performed, it was a shock in the music world and the performers, because it's something so radical, also so long for this kind of language. The first sonata is much, much shorter, and the music is so rich, so once again radical, and I'm so happy that for this day at the Barbican we will have the opportunity to have one of the greatest pianists of our time, Jean-Frédéric Neuberger. He's really, for me, a genius, and he will give all the richness of this sonata. Éclat Multiple, in a way, works very well with the second piano sonata because it's a conductor playing live a huge piano, which is an orchestra. And it's really the virtuosity of the orchestral playing, also for sure the unique aspect of this ensemble, my God. 10 violas, suddenly, why 10 violas? With percussions, piano, cymbalum, mandolin, guitar. This is a unique color of this ensemble, and the new role of the interactions between the conductor and the orchestra. So I find it very, very interesting to have the two pieces in the same concert.
Moving to the evening, I mean, this is a very busy day for you. We have notations, maybe most interesting because they're being revised.
The notation for orchestra is a work non-finished because he has still. I saw him 10 days ago. He has still the wish to finish them. The notation for orchestra are works that were asked by Daniel Barenboim for the Orchestre de Paris. And it's really a very interesting process of composing, which is the notation for piano do exist. It's very short pieces for piano. And many, many years after he composed them, the piano notation, he took the every piece like a matrix for, like a material for a longer piece for large orchestra. So it's really a very interesting process. Like, you can see in a garden, a big tree began with small things in the earth. And it's a masterwork for orchestra. And I have to say that today it really is in the repertoire of the orchestras.
Thank you.
And we finish with, I think for a lot of people, one of his most famous works, Plie Selon Plie.
Yes, it's a beautiful, beautiful piece. I could say that with Le Marteau and the Répond, it's maybe one of the most interesting masterwork of Pierre Boulez. Yes, soprano, an orchestra, which is divided in many groups. It's the part of Boulez music where the text is a pretext for poetry. And the poetry in Boulez music is very important. For sure, not something which is the same than Debussy or Ravel with Mallarmé poetry, for example, but something very, very colorful and with many, many different sense of the text that you can understand or not. And I am so pleased that we will be able to perform this piece to end this amazing day.
Next, we find ourselves speaking to the Professor of Composition and Composer in Residence at the Guildhall School of Music, Julian Anderson. He gave us some unique insight and even tips on how to understand and engage with the music, something he was smitten with from an early age.
I first heard Pierre Boulez's music when I was about 11. I can remember what it was. It was Éclat Multiple. And I heard a first part that seemed to just hover around in a very motionless kind of way that I couldn't hang on to. Now, I have to say immediately that I first heard of Pierre Boulez in a quite different way from his music. Pierre Boulez was I don't know about household, but he was a very, very, very famous name in Britain at that time in the 70s because he was chief conductor of the BBC Symphony. Catching up with his music properly really was when I was 13. And I quickly discovered trying to write any music like that, that it's actually very difficult to write music with that amount of colour and that amount of surprise. It's not, you have to have an exceptional artistic ability and imagination to do that. And he really has that. I still think that those features and liveliness are the principal features of a great Boulez piece, I would say. Lyricism is there in some pieces, but Boulez's idea of melody is not Verdi. I mean, it's not kind of a tune that you whistle in the street. It's a very ornate kind of melodic writing in Boulez that's more close to perhaps something you might find in Japanese no plays or in maybe East Asian musics or medieval music. And so he naturally expanded towards those musics that attracted his ear. And Japanese music and also Balinese gamelan was also one of those.
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
One device that I could advise people to listen out for in Boulez, many similar parts but not identical, on top of each other at once. So there will be a melodic line which everyone will play, but they'll play it slightly differently from each other. So it's more like a crowd singing, if you will, at a football match, where they sing a football song, but they don't all sing it at the same speed, and it gets out of phase with itself. And some of them sing it in a very elaborate way, and some sing just the basic notes of it, some sing it with a lot of accent, some don't. Well, if you transfer that to a melodic pattern in Boulez, you'll hear the line being diffused through the orchestra as if it's like in a hall of mirrors. And it's a most magical sound world, that. One of the other things I could say people might have a little background about is look on the internet, look up Paul Klee. Paul Klee had a very, very interesting and inventive attitude towards the basic materials of his art. Well, he was a painter, and so he took just colors, lines, foreground, background. And he worked with those very simple elements that a kid could work with, frankly, and just examined them as if they just dropped down from heaven just there. I think has a parallel. I know Boulez loves reading and Paul Klee's writings and loves looking at his pictures and has been very affected by that. And I think that's got a parallel with, let's just take the basic elements of sound and time and melody and harmony, examine them afresh as if they just fell down in front of you. What would you do with these tools? And I think also that's very much Boulez's attitude towards society as a whole. In the early years, he was polemic. He criticized a lot of what he found as being unsatisfactory, but he quickly realized just saying this won't do, if you can't do anything about it, is no good. So he decided to do something about it, and that's really why he became a conductor. Because as a composer, he could only do so much. One of the problems that his generation had was getting anyone to play their music. Well, as a conductor, he could help with that. And he used that, and frankly, let's say, the power that came with that, in a very, very productive way. How? Well, to found, for example, a whole load of institutions in France that did not exist. I'll name one of them, this Institute of Research and Coordination of Acoustics and Music. Rather a mouthful, that. It's IRCAM is the short for that. Well, IRCAM is basically an electroacoustic music center, a center for exploring and devising new ways in which sound and science can interact. What electronic music doesn't play a big role in Boulez's music. He's written only about three substantial, yes, but only three pieces that really used it properly. Of course, it was very nice, you know, to be able to say to President Pompidou, what music really needs is this, and then get the answer, okay, if you, Pierre Boulez, think that, then we'll do it. I mean, that's pretty amazing to have somebody who could actually talk to the French president and get an answer of that kind of quality. There was a number of composers interviewed by a London newspaper pay tribute to or just say what they thought of Boulez as a figure musically and as a composer and so on. One of the warmest tributes came, and most touching, came from none other than the late John Taverner. John Taverner, the religious composer, the first Christian and then Orthodox and so on, then sort of rather pan-religious later, somebody who was always going on about the lack of spirituality in Western contemporary art music. So what does he have to say about Boulez? And he said, Boulez is, I think, a very great religious and spiritual figure in music. And I remember thinking, huh? And then thinking again and thinking, hang on, I think I know what this is at. And Taverner said, you just listen to one of those glorious passages of chords, glistening chords in Plie Selon Plie, or in some of his later music, which make you long almost for another world. They give you a window onto another world that doesn't exist. And he said, for me, they're a symbol of paradise. And, of course, paradise as a concept interested John Taverner. And he said, I once told Boulez that in a lift. God knows what Boulez thought. Boulez said, I know you believe in paradise. I don't believe in paradise. And Taverner said, he said to Boulez, I know you don't, Pierre, but your music does.
How do you see his music affecting other composers?
I'm only in my 40s, but I've seen enough fashions come and go in music and society generally to have seen Boulez go out of fashion and then come back into fashion again. My impression is that young composers now are perfectly happy to just listen to this music and if they find it attractive, study it with enthusiasm. They don't, I think, feel the need to take on the battles. Those were his battles in his time. They have other battles to fight. They certainly have no trouble getting into that sound world or the sound worlds that Boulez creates and swimming around very happily in it. And they'll take on Boulez, they'll take on Steve Reich, they'll take on Helmut Lachenmann, they'll take on some of them, Beyoncé, whatever it is, and they'll take on Ollie Nussen. They'll listen to all of these people, happily and with enthusiasm and interest, and often with great perception, But many of them have said to me they would really like to hear this music live. And why can't we hear it live? We are fed up of always hearing the old CDs. They're marvellous, but we want to hear how this music sounds in the concert hall. So what I'm saying to all of them is, you keep saying this to me, go along and hear it. The BBC and the Barbican are doing all these pieces live, so just for you. So go on and hear it.
And finally, as we attempt to explore this man and his music from every angle, we can now move finally from the conductor and composer to that of the players. I caught up with some of the members of Ensemble Intercontemporain, which the composer himself founded in 1976.
My name is Eric Maria Couturier, I'm cellist of Ensemble Intercontemporain.
My name is Sophie Charrier, and I'm flutist at the Ensemble Intercontemporain.
Maybe I listened the first time Pierre Wood's music when I was very young, so I maybe mistook with some free jazz music because I was 4 years old. But later on, I seriously met him as a conductor when I was working in the Orchestre de Paris, and we were performing Stravinsky's Spring Ritual, and then many collaborations. Then in Ensemble Intercontemporain, then I met him in real with his music, with Répond and Dérive.
And for me, it was, well, I was 20 years ago when I went to the ensemble. I've been, you know, admitted in this ensemble. So for me, everything was new. I didn't know nearly one thing about contemporary music. I knew Boulez, of course, and a bit of his music, but not so much. So I discovered everything with the ensemble. So, of course, Memorial for solo flute later, but also Sonatine and many pieces, of course. Every piece is from his composition. Now we know.
What did you think of the music, though, when you did get to perform it? What were your sort of impressions?
Well, my first impression was very, very strong because when I entered the Ensemble Intercontemporain 12 years ago, I didn't know anything about this kind of music. So I really dived into it, and the scores were amazing, the individual parts, and also I was reading his books a little bit, what I couldn't understand, and also the rehearsal were fantastic. Yes, it was a big shock because there were some contradictions in a way, his way of conducting, also his way of writing, in the sense that it was very clear, very vertical, and also he has some softness in a way of conducting, also in some lyrical pieces. Also, it added some, for example, in Dérive de, the last version, there are a lot of solos, very lyrical, and also a memorial you can tell about as a flutist. There is many pieces, also vocal pieces, and there is a lot of images of like French, what would be French music with Debussy roots. I think it comes from here. So I discovered that, and it was very. I was very impressed.
Yeah. When I arrived, of course, I was 20 years ago, 20 years young. Sorry, so I was much far away from Eric, 30 years ago now. And of course, when you arrive at, you are 20 years old, you discover very great musicians, and the level for me was really incredible. I was just thinking, what am I going to do in this ensemble? So. And then I have the same impression than Eric. So if we speak about Boulez, that the one part of him is really, you know, all the details and everything. In how can I say, he hears everything when he's conducting. He's following every lines and he has the idea, and he's very vertical, and he seems to be, you know, only technical, but I think, like Eric, that there's a lot of lyrism, even in his way of conducting and even in his music, of course.
One of the first images I had I tried to the audition, that we have some music to play under his baton. And so we followed his hand, and I was just fascinated by the hand. It was like a ballet, really. It was so soft and so guiding also in the same way.
I think I have the same impression. I always say that. Honestly, we didn't speak together about that. Some people say, oh, when you look at Boulez's face, don't look at his face, look at his hand. Just go in there, follow his hand, and you just seem, you know, to... Yes, there's many things coming just out of one hand. This is it. All the music, all the emotion is coming in his hand. Of course, you look at his face when he's conducting. It seems, you know, like there's nothing happening, but it's not true. It's just we have to be with his hand.
He set this up, I think, in 1976. What were the aims, do you think, he had the reason he set it up in the first place?
Well, there is many things about this return and the same things that he wanted to create the informatics research center as an IRCAM close to the Pompidou Museum, and also a structure, administrative structure, and offices, and also rehearsal rooms and concert hall as a Cité de la Musique. That was the aim. It was the architect of all these things. So now we are enjoying very much to work in these walls of that he created for us. And also there will be another one next in the Porte de Pantin in Paris, which will be a Philharmonie de Paris. The Cité de la Musique was created in 1990. But yes, I don't know before, where did you work in 1976?
Well, it was not really 1976. Oh, nearly, yeah, it was 1980. But we had a rehearsal in a very bad place because we didn't have a special room for us. And we were playing around theatre like Théâtre du Châtelet, Théâtre du Rond-Point, we were going... But the idea of Boulez was creating this, you know, how can we say the small world for music, and this is it now. He wanted so much this big hall, which is the Philharmonie, which is being built now. He had a big fight for that to say we need in Paris a very big hall, and finally we're going to have it. So we are happy for him and for us, of course.
From what you're saying, he's a man with a great vision, you know, musically and artistically.
Exactly. He had the vision of so many things in every art, by the way. So, and especially, of course, in music. So when he had an idea like building this, he was just fighting with that so many years. So finally, it's good that it's happened now.
And it's not just that as well. I mean, another aspect that we haven't touched on is the technology. He obviously was a man who wanted to push the technology and the relationship between organic and electronics to its limit.
When I arrived in the ensemble like 12 years ago, I was playing the pieces with electronic, and everything were accomplished. But I know that it was very difficult, that electronic was another extension of the music, and sometimes a response, the music was acoustic, but the response of electronic. So they worked nights and nights and months and years. And now we do this with the laptop. It's so, it has been so evolved until now. So for us, it's also a very nice tool because we can find also new real-time programs who can follow, adjust, even correct things. When it's so fast, the program can listen and correct also. There is a way of following. That's amazing. And some musicians of Ensemble Intercontinental are working also with the engineers of IRCAM in a way to add some microphones, very special ones, a contact microphone inside the, for example, clarinet bass. It's very new now, and so it might be possible to have another way of interaction. That the acoustic instrument is based on electronic stuff. So we will see what happens. But I think it can bring also more horizon for creating. Of course, because the composer will have another role now. It's not only I'm writing the acoustic part in the score, and then we will have an assistant for electronics, that it will be the same person. Yeah. There will be both creators, and also the musician will be the third creators. is more powerful, maybe.
Well, I was at the beginning when the machines became, you know, trying to be in our world. And it was very, very, very difficult. It was always a good vision, of course, of Boulez and all the, only, not only Boulez, all the composers around. And it was very complicated at the beginning because the machines were, it was enormous. And then it was, for example, when we created the Explosion Fix for flute solo MIDI with Donc Following within a computer, we had to play on what I was calling an orthopedic flute, you know, with many small captors and every... It was very complicated. We had to say to an interface, oh, she's playing a J, oh... The interface was saying to the computer, okay, she had played a J, so on J there's an event which is coming in. You know, it was, and now, as Eric said, after years and years, it's just we play on our instruments. We just have we have a very small microphone, and it's just following the notes. So it's not a question of doigté, it's just a question of recognizing the sound where they come. It has, you know, it has taken about 15 years, I think 20 years, and then now.
Getting back to your instruments, I thought I'd ask about next. I mean, how does he write for the cello and the flute? I know his writing is normally thought to push the instruments to their limits.
It's not pushing the instruments to the edge of limit, it's pushing the musicians on the edges.
For me, it's very interesting because he has written the sonatine. He was 20 years old, so it has been written in 45. And it still stays a very difficult piece rhythmically, especially rhythmically. He pushes quite far, but not so far. I mean, for me, what I know about Boulez for the flute, Marteau sans maître, of course, Memorial, even Explosion Fix, Sonatine, it's possible to do everything. It's not, you have Fornero, for example, who pushes so far that you must leave some information beside because you can't play everything. Boulez, you can do it, but what stays very difficult, especially with the Sonatine, is the rhythm with the pianist and to be, you know, in the same mood that we can have the same music coming out. And I remember Pierre Laurent Aymard was playing with us, and I played it with him. He was always saying, each time I'm playing the sonatine, it's like, I don't know, like going to die. You know, it's a mise à mort. It was, you can play this piece 20 times, 40 times. It's still interesting, and you have still, you know, a sort of challenge to... Yeah. That was, for me, very exciting years and years. I think it's a very good program for his 90th birthday.
Next year will be the 90th anniversary. Is it a great opportunity to look back and maybe even look forward? I mean, it's an amazing achievement that he's still with us composing incredible music.
Well, it's of course a good opportunity to come and to play for his birthday. But, you know, his birthday was when he was 80, 85, or 90, and it will be always his birthday. That was what I think. But it's going to be a big event all around the world. Mm. I'm going to play, for example, Explosion Fix in Baden-Baden, where he lives. And then I will play Memorial for me, it's very, of course, playing Memorial in London, which is a town that he loves. And he loves coming and conducting here. So, of course, it's very important for us. But his birthday is any day.
Thank you.
thanks to all the fantastic contributors to this look at the complex yet compelling world of music constructed by composer Pierre Boulez. This podcast itself originally compiled to coincide with the Boulez at 90 series at the venue. I'm Ben Eshmaid. You've been listening to an archive edition of Nothing Concrete, the Barbican podcast, here to inspire more people to discover and love the arts with weekly episodes of archive finds and themed series. Subscribe to Nothing Concrete on Acast, Spotify, or wherever you find your podcasts. And if you can, leave us a review to help us get the word out.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.